Good evening. Appreciate this opportunity to get to do this again. It's been several years since I've done this. I was really hoping that since it's been a few years, I'm a little bit older, I'd be a little bit less nervous this time, but sadly, I'm not. Been teaching Sunday school class for quite a while, and you know, I've kind of gotten used to that. I'm not quite as nervous as I was when I started doing that, but there's just something about standing up here behind this pulpit, trying to talk to all y'all. A lot of y'all taught me in classes growing up, and a lot of what I know about the Bible is because of people in this room. So I feel a little inadequate to try to stand up here and teach anything to y'all, but I hope you know how much I love this church and I love you people here. You know, I was thinking back, and I guess it's been about 34 years ago. I got saved right here, you know, in this altar. I remember that morning. I was had a Sunday school class. Sister Kim Chandler taught us a lesson about hell that morning. I remember the lesson she taught us, that what hell was, who goes there, why people go there. And I remember that morning realizing that I was a sinner, and that if I was to die in my sin, I would go to hell. I remember talking to my family about it that afternoon, and that evening at the end of the evening service, I walked up to this altar and prayed to be saved. And because of that, that decision changed the rest of my life. It's changed my family's life. And I'm incredibly grateful for this church and the people here, and getting to grow up here. Like I said, that was about 34 years ago. So it's been quite a while, but, it's been an amazing blessing to get to be a part of this church. Brother Isaac texted me about a week and a half ago and asked me to fill in for him. He was going to be gone at teen camp this week. I asked him to pray for me to try to find a topic. That's always the hardest part for me about doing something like this, is coming up with a topic. Like, once I can figure out what it is I'm going to talk about, then I can start studying and listening to sermons and trying to learn to prepare for it. But he had started a new lesson last week on spiritual discipline, and I was pretty excited about that because I feel like God has been convicting me to be more disciplined spiritually in my physical life and in every aspect. And he preached last week on the spiritual discipline of prayer, and he said that if I wanted to, I could continue that lesson this week about the spiritual discipline of fasting. I assume what went through his head was that he knew that when people looked at me, they thought that's somebody that knows a lot about fasting, you know. I assume that's what he was thinking. To be honest, I've only fasted for spiritual purposes a handful of times in my life. I've had doctors, you know, have to order me to fast for a day or something before a operation or whatever before. But for spiritual purposes, only a handful of times in my life have I ever done it. But I thought that teaching this lesson might give me an opportunity to study about what God's Word has to say about it. I was able to watch, probably trying to prepare for this, a dozen sermons online. One of the awesome things about YouTube is getting to watch all the different preachers from around the country and even the world, and what they have to say and teach about some of this stuff, and read through extensively through God's Word. I say that to say that if I say anything tonight that sounds the least bit smart, I can assure you it was not my original thought. It's something that I probably heard from somebody else. I feel like I've probably plagiarized enough in this lesson tonight that I'm probably qualified to run for political office at this point. One of the things I learned was that fasting was mentioned, is mentioned throughout the Bible about 77 times. I didn't count that number myself, but I did read it on the internet, so I know it has to be right. So 77 times, at least in the Bible. The Bible mentions partial fasts, complete fasts, national fasts, congregational fasts. The Bible doesn't specifically specify how long a fast has to last. There's all kinds of examples. There's one-day fasts in the Bible, three-day fasts, 21-day fasts, 40-day fasts. Just a short list of some of the fasts that I saw. This is just a very, very partial list, but Moses fasted while he was receiving the Ten Commandments. King David fasted while his son was sick and dying. King Jehoshaphat declared a fast throughout Judah for victory over their enemies. The prophet Joel called for a fast to avert the judgment of God. The king of Nineveh declared a fast in response to Jonah's teaching. Queen Esther declared a fast for all the Jews before approaching the king uninvited. The prophetess Anna fasted, Jesus fasted, the early church fasted. Paul fasted before appointing elders in the church. There's so many examples of fasting in the Bible, yet it's probably the least practiced spiritual discipline as Christians that any of us do. One thing that was interesting, fasting is mentioned more times in the Bible than water baptism, just to indicate the importance of it. So why do we as Christians so easily disregard this spiritual discipline? Why is fasting the one thing that as Christians in America today, we don't really seem to be interested in? I think personally, speaking for myself, maybe it's different for everybody, but we as Americans today, we really love food. I really love food. I'll be honest with you. I'm a big fan of food. I think our life, I know my life, I feel like about half the conversations that Talisa and I have revolve around what's for dinner, what's for lunch, what's for supper. It's just a constant revolving what's the next meal going to be. It's one of my favorite topics, to be honest, too, because it's exciting to, what's my next meal going to be? I know probably y'all remember in the past, Brother Isaac has talked about his love for Little Debbie's, and I, too, share in that addiction. I'm a big fan of those myself. If you compare the two of us, you can tell who's the amateur and who's the professional. As Americans, we plan almost everything around food. If you haven't seen somebody in a while, you say, hey, let's meet up and have lunch together, or let's have dinner together. On holidays, what do? Thanksgiving, Christmas, usually we're meeting our family around a table of way too much food. As Americans, that's just what we do. As I was reading about fasting, one of the things I learned was that Puritans in the 17th century called fasting soul fattening. So they looked at fasting as a way to feed their soul. So they would deny their flesh and feed their soul. That was kind of the purpose of fasting. If we could define biblical fasting, I think it would be the voluntary abstinence from food for a limited period of time for the purpose of drawing near to God. That's what we talk about. So just to be clear, when we talk about biblical fasting, that's what we mean. So before we look into Scripture, there's a few things, I've got about four things here that I want to be clear that fasting is not, that I think we need to be clear about. First, it is not a dieting plan. Now, fasting may be good for dieting. It may help you lose weight. I've been interested in fasting before, and I've honestly looked at it a lot from the weight loss plan. I could stand to lose a few pounds, I think that's good. That's a good side effect of fasting, but that's not the intent. We don't go into it. If all your intent is to go into fasting to lose weight, that's not providing anything spiritually for you. Number two, it's not a ritual to show others that you're more spiritual. So it's not something that we do outwardly. It's not something that we do so other people can look at us and say, wow, that guy's really, or that woman's really spiritual. We shouldn't show our discomfort to others. We shouldn't, be updating Facebook and saying, I'm just starting my fast. I'm halfway through my fast. And it's not something to be outward about. Number three, it's not intended to punish the flesh. So we don't fast just to punish our flesh. It's not something we're not trying to just torment ourselves by doing it. Number four, and somebody can correct me if I'm wrong. Maybe someone's seen a verse that I didn't find. But I've not found anywhere in the Bible where fasting is specifically commanded. I don't believe it's a sin to not fast. So I think that we need to make that distinction. But, and this is a big one, I think it is very clearly expected and it is rewarded when we do it. So it's not commanded directly. So like I said, I don't think it's a sin if you don't fast necessarily. But I think the Bible is clear that Christ expects us to fast and rewards us when we do it. So if you've got your Bibles, turn to Matthew 9:14. What I want to read here, some of the disciples of John the Baptist came to Jesus, and they didn't understand. They fasted as disciples of John the Baptist. They were fasting. And they wanted to know why the disciples of Christ did not fast. We're not fasting at this time. So Matthew 9:14, it says, "Then came to him the disciples of John, saying, Why do we and the Pharisees fast oft, but thy disciples fast not? And Jesus said unto them, Can the children of the bride chamber mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken from them, and then shall they fast." So at the end of that verse 15 there, the last little phrase that Christ uses there, "and then shall they fast." It's not they may fast. It's not they might. It's shall they fast. Then shall they fast. Jesus was telling them there that he was with them now, and that was not the time for them to fast, but that when he returned to heaven at the right hand of his Father, that was when his disciples would fast. We're still in that same position today as disciples of Christ, that we should be, that Jesus expects us to fast. If you look back to Matthew 6:16, a couple chapters back, in Matthew 6:16, he restates some of this and says a little bit more about the reward. Matthew 6:16 says, "Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face, that thou may appear not unto men to fast, but unto the Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." So in verse 16 he says, "When ye fast." In verse 17 he says, "When thou fastest." And at the end of verse 18, he says, "And thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly." So he's making it very clear there that it's an expectation. When you do this, when thou fastest, and at the end of verse 18, he says that we will be rewarded by the Father for that fasting. I think it's important here to say as well that not everybody can fast. And I think that I don't think God is going to be disappointed if you have maybe a medical condition that causes you to be unable to fast. I don't think God's going to be upset with you about that. Maybe people that have diabetes or some sort of heart condition, pregnant women should probably not fast, and unless they want that baby to be born really skinny. Pregnant women should probably not fast. There's certain people that shouldn't do that, at least not as we see the typical type of fast. But people that are physically able to fast, we need to make sure that we're able to do that. I'm going to go over a little list here. I've got about five things to go over of five benefits of fasting. I want to be clear, I didn't come up with this list. I listened to a bunch of sermons, and one of them in particular had a really nice outline for some of the benefits of fasting, and I shamelessly stole that for this lesson. It was a lot better than anything I could come up with on my own. So I'm going to go through the five benefits as I see it of biblical fasting. The first one is fasting has a freeing benefit. If you'll look at Isaiah 58:6, get it up there on the screen. Isaiah 58:6 says, "Is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke." So in that verse there, in the verse that's on the screen there, it talks about loosening the bands of wickedness, being released from heavy burdens, freedom from oppression, breaking every yoke. Do any of us have strongholds of sin in our lives that we need released from, that we need freedom from? I think as Christians, all of us, if we are to be honest with ourselves, there's probably some sort of stronghold in our lives of sin that we deal with. Maybe we deal with addictions of some sort, physical sins, mental sins, something in our life that is difficult. Maybe we've tried over and over to repent of that sin and quit doing it, but we just can't seem to get victory over that sin. I think in Isaiah 58:6, God prescribes fasting as a way to help us overcome those strongholds in our life. Sometimes when nothing else seems to work, maybe we should try fasting. This tool that is utilized over and over in the Bible, maybe that's something that God wants us to look at. as I mentioned before, fasting is used in this constant battle that we have that goes on in our spirit. We as Christians have been given a new spirit inside, but we still have this flesh, this worldly flesh that is constantly at war with our spirit. So our spirit is constantly at war. Our flesh is extremely gluttonous, and that's not just for food. You know, I can tell you my flesh wants me to eat all the time, but it's not just about food. Our flesh is gluttonous for all kinds of things that are dishonoring to God, things that are dishonoring to ourselves. Our flesh always wants to dominate our spirit, and we're always in that constant battle of flesh versus spirit as Christians. Those battles that we fight can wear us down. They can weaken us. Amen. Fighting those strongholds of sin in our lives without achieving the victory can lead us down paths of depression. It can lead us down paths of feeling inadequate, of feeling disillusioned. Those battles that we fight are very difficult. And fasting is a tool that I think God has prescribed to us. What it does is it essentially puts our finger on the scale of our spirit. And it weakens the spirit by denying it food. Weakens the flesh by denying it food, and it feeds the spirit. So you're helping the spirit, and you're weakening the flesh in that battle. And because of that, it can allow you to overcome some of those fights that we face. Number two, fasting has a healing benefit. So it's got a freeing benefit. Number two, it's got a healing benefit. If you look at Isaiah 58:8, just a couple verses down from that, 58:6, still here speaking in the context of fasting, it says, "Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy reward." I believe that this verse primarily has a application towards national healing, but I think it also has an application towards us for personal healing. I think that fasting does have a healing benefit to us. I was reading quite a bit about fasting and read several articles from different doctors, and it was surprising to me the health benefits that they've discovered from fasting, that fasting does for us today. One of the things that I was reading, it said that in a 24-hour fast, just as short as a 24-hour fast, your body will remove damaged proteins from your blood. Your body will produce extra growth hormone that helps with healing, and the inflammation in your body will be reduced. It helps your gut rest and heal, and it provides benefits for your heart and your brain. In a 48-hour fast, your body will even start producing extra stem cells that help your body heal. And none of that has anything to do with the spiritual nature of this, but I just find it's such a coincidence that God's plan for us also has physical benefits. And I don't think that's a coincidence at all. The third thing is that fasting has a strengthening benefit. If we look at Luke 4:3, this is after Jesus had been in the wilderness for 40 days. Satan comes to tempt Jesus. Get it up there. If we look at Luke 4:3, it says, "And the devil said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. And Jesus answering him, saying, It is written, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." Satan comes here and he tempts Jesus three times. Each time Jesus responds with scripture and is able to overcome the temptation of the devil. Now, it's easy to look at this and think about Jesus being in the wilderness and fasting for 40 days and look at that and say, well, Jesus must have been at his weakest point. And I'm sure, you know, if I can just imagine if I had gone without food for 40 days, my body's probably pretty weak. My flesh is probably in about the weakest state it could be in. But just like we talked about before, this fasting is a tool to feed the spirit. So you deny the flesh and therefore feed the spirit. So really, Jesus was at his strongest spiritually when he was tempted by Satan. Now, I know that Jesus could have overcome this temptation at any point. But I think what he was doing was teaching us a lesson. And he was teaching us a lesson that when we have our strongest spiritual temptations that we face, that we need to take this, we need to be able to use this extra tool that God provides for us to strengthen our spirit. Number four, fasting has a discerning benefit. This, if you'll look at Acts 13:1, which we'll have it up on the screen. Acts 13:1 says, "Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manion, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, 'Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work wherein I have called them.' And when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them and sent them away." If you notice there in verse 2, it said, "And they ministered to the Lord and fasted. Then the Holy Ghost said, 'Separate me, Barnabas.'" I think that the Holy Spirit in this verse here, in these verses, used this time of praying and fasting in the early church to help them discern who they should send. I think there's lots of times in our lives when we come up with decisions that maybe we don't know the correct thing to do. I can think back in my life, there's been plenty of times that I've had decisions that I needed to make, and I really just didn't know the way to go. I didn't know which decision to make. I think that God, if we use this tool of fasting, can help us. You look at this early church, they received this knowledge and discernment through prayer, worship, and fasting. And I think that's a pretty good example for us as a church today, that if we want to seek discernment and have this wisdom that God can provide, we should seek it through fasting and prayer like the early church did. I talk to the teen class quite a bit on Sunday mornings. You know, these teens, we really need to pray for them. They've got so many decisions that they're about to face as they get older. Where to go to college, trade school, where to get a job, who to marry, to live here, to move off somewhere. There's so many gigantic decisions that these young people face, and we really need to pray for them. But, you know, these decisions, and even as adults, we're all faced with giant decisions sometimes. And these decisions, if we don't really want to trust in ourselves to make these right decisions, because I can tell you that I'm really good at being able to make the wrong decisions. I'm practically professional at it. So if we seek God's face and his help in this discernment and knowledge through this fasting and prayer, I believe he'll be there to help us. Number five, and the last point, fasting has a helping benefit. So 2 Chronicles 20 and verse 15 is what we're going to look at. I'm not going to read this verse, but in 2 Chronicles 20 and verse 3, we see that Jehoshaphat declared a fast in all of Judah. The Moabites and the Ammonites came to do battle against Judah. After he declares the fast in verse 15, where we're going to start reading, we see God's answer. God answers them after they go to the Lord, seek the Lord through fasting. In 2 Chronicles 20:15, it says, "And he said, 'Hearken ye, all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat. Thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook, before the wilderness of Jeruel. You shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you." Amen. So we see here, he says in verse 15, he says, "For the battle is not yours, but God's." And at the end of 17, he says, "For the Lord will be with you." So we see God's answer here to this prayer and fasting that the nation of Judah did. God offered them help in this situation. This is just one. There's so many examples throughout the Bible of God's people seeking him through prayer and fasting. Ezra, you can think of Ezra when he declared a fast for his people to seek God's help. The king of Nineveh declared a fast throughout all the people to seek God's mercy and ask for forgiveness and for him not to destroy their city. We can see all these these examples in the Bible of the help that God gives if we seek his face through fasting and prayer. And do we not have issues in our lives that we need help with? I think it would be crazy to think that none of us have anything in our life going on that we might not need God's help with. Maybe you need God's help in your marriage. Maybe we need God's help with our children. Maybe we need God's help with something that we're doing at work. All of us could use God's help. Think about our country and where our country's at right now. It kind of makes me sick to think of the direction our country is going. Amen. And that we are leaving to our children and grandchildren. We should be, as Christians, people that are willing to pray through fasting and prayer. We should pray for our country. Amen. I read a sermon or listened to a sermon a while back, and one of the things that they said in it really stuck out to me, and I just want to share it with you tonight. But it's from 2 Chronicles 7:14, which is our theme verse here. I think last year, one of the verses we had up on one of the banners, and it's something that they mentioned that really stuck with me. I think we as Christians, when we see the condition of our nation, we love to blame it on other people. You know, we love to look outside of these doors and say that it's, you know, our country's the way it is because of this group of people or that group of people. But maybe what this verse is saying is that it's not their fault, it's our fault that our country is the way it is. If you look at this verse, it says, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." Now, as I read that verse, it says, "my people, if my people will do that." That's speaking of us as Christians. I don't see anywhere in that verse where it says Democrats. I don't see where it says Congress or the court system. I think that verse is saying that maybe what's keeping our land here from being healed and our sins forgiven is because Christians like us won't take it seriously enough to fast and pray like we should and to seek God's face. Lastly, I'm going to close with just a few practical points about fasting. I think since the Bible doesn't directly command us on how to fast and when to fast, we've got some Christian liberty in this area and how we do it. I think we can fast if we decide to do so for a day, for part of a day, for several days. Maybe you can't fast for a full day, but you can miss a meal or two in a row and take that time to devote to seeking God through prayer. Feed your soul. I think it's also important if we fast, and this is kind of common sense, but I think just to be clear, that if we fast, if we decide to do so, to stay hydrated. There are examples in the Bible of food and liquid fasts. Typically, when we talk about fasting, we're just talking about food. You can still drink water, stay hydrated. You know, we have an example of Nineveh in the Bible. They went 3 days with a liquid and food fast, but you've obviously got to be very careful with that. The body can survive a lot longer without food than it can without water. If you decide to do like Jesus and do a 40-day fast and don't drink any water either, that fast will probably end in the presence of Jesus because our bodies just can't last quite that long without water. So we've got to use common sense about fasting. We need to make sure that we couple that fasting with prayer. When we're fasting and those times come up, maybe you feel that hunger, take that time to direct that to the Lord. Take that and use those times to pray. It's like I said before, it's not just about denying your flesh. It's primarily about feeding your spirit. Amen. And that's done through prayer. Next is be discreet. Like I said before, we don't need to tell everybody about it. We don't need to go out and let everybody know that we're doing it. It's something it's not an outward show. It's something that's done on the inside. It's kind of funny to me how God works in our hearts and minds. Like I said before Brother Isaac even brought this up about fasting, I'd been thinking about becoming more spiritually disciplined, and I'd actually been thinking about fasting. Part of that was because I was interested in the health benefits of it, but it's just funny. I had been thinking about it already, and then Brother Isaac mentioned teaching this lesson on it. So it's crazy how God works and how he does things. I'm excited to hear this series of lessons continue on Wednesday night about spiritual disciplines, and I hope y'all are too. Once again, I want to say that I appreciate this opportunity to speak to y'all this evening. I think all of us, and definitely me included, should consider fasting. Like I said at the beginning, this is probably the least observed spiritual discipline that Christians do today. But I think all of us should seriously consider it. I think the Bible speaks about it over and over again. God offers this to us as a tool to use in our spiritual lives, and we should seriously investigate it to see if God doesn't want us to use it in our lives. And lastly, I don't feel right standing up here and not saying anything about salvation. So I just want to close by saying that if anyone here tonight knows in your heart, or maybe listening on the computer or something later, knows in your heart that you've never put your faith and trust in Christ, and you know that you are feeling the conviction of the Holy Spirit to be saved, that if you will seek God with a heart of repentance and put your faith and trust in Christ's perfect life, in his death, burial, and resurrection, that he'll save your soul the same as he did for me 33 years ago, right up here. And I'll close there. I appreciate y'all's attention. Brother Dean, do you want to? Thank y'all.